I'm excited about today's message. I like it when I know for sure that I heard from him. And it began, this actually began Wednesday, Thursday or Friday for me, because I listened to, I try and stay up with Pastor Bronk, what he's teaching, and also Jim Martin. And I'm pretty well caught up, well, I'm all the way caught up with Bronk. But anyway, last Wednesday night, my spirit, when I heard it, what Bronk started off with, this is not the lesson that he taught, it was just a little exhortation at the beginning. And when I heard it, my spirit just jumped within me. I knew this was, start with this and then teach on it today. We're going to talk about praying in other tongues. But let me read to you, this is almost word for word, Bronk's exhortation, just a little exhortation to the body, not a prophecy, Wednesday night. And he said, don't forget to pray. There is something to do 365 days a year. And it doesn't matter if your schedule is as busy as the President of the United States or as free as a retired person with no grandchildren. Your flesh will always find something for you to do rather than pray. Revival will not be birthed unless people pray. Jesus told us plainly that men ought always to pray and to not faint. And that means not give up. Don't quit. The flesh will come up with things that will be 100% justifiable to substitute for prayer every single day. Bronk said, find your prayer closet. You might say, well, I found my prayer closet 15 years ago. Wonderful. But how is your prayer life going right now? I'm not talking about 5 years ago at the height of your prayer life. How is it going for you today? Now, Bronk didn't say how he knows this. But he says, I can add my testimony how I know this, and you could add your testimony how you know this. See, you can slip out of your prayer life so easy. You have to really watch it, because today and tomorrow and next week, they just kind of run together, and before long, we're at the end of another year. And you're going, wasn't I going to pray? Says you will think of yourself as a, quote, prayer person. Then if you don't watch it, you'll catch yourself somewhere down the road. And it's been weeks. And if you're honest, sometimes months since you really spent any serious time in prayer. Because the days, they just fly by. Please, we have to birth revival. And it must be birthed in prayer. Like I said, when I heard that, I went, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I don't care if you've been here 25 years or longer. I'll add my testimony. It is easy to think of yourself as a prayer person and think you're doing pretty well. One time, Tim, he's sitting right over there. I loved him, but he did me a horrible thing. He gave me this time utilization form. And that basically what it is, it has your day broken down into 30-minute increments. And there's a place for you to write it. And you, to do it correctly, you can't wait till the end of the day, because you'll make it a lot better than it was. Set a timer. Every 30 minutes, write down what you're doing. Several just looked away when I said that. So, if you'd have asked me, how's your prayer life? Pretty good. After about a week of me keeping that, Tim says, you going to give me a copy of those forms you filled out? I said, Tim, in Jesus' name, you will never see those forms. In this life, there's few things you can count on, but you can count on this. You will never see those forms. It was an eye-opener. Because you can think you're still a person of prayer, and what you do is you wind up being busy. It is exactly Mark chapter 4. You just get so caught up in the justifiable things, the busyness of life, even if it's not persecution and affliction, just the busyness of life, things that your flesh will justify. But the end result, you didn't pray. Not really. Okay, so I'm going to teach on prayer today. Is that okay? Well, I'm going to do it whether it's okay or not. So let me find my lesson and get things in sequence here. I've been working on this since about 4:30 this morning. And just doing what I'm supposed to be doing every day, you know, listening and praying. By the way, none of us, I don't think, have fallen completely out of prayer. I do get in a lot of prayer, praying in the, while I'm doing other things, praying in the car, praying in the shower, praying doing this, praying doing that. And that's all good. I'll still say there is no such thing as a wasted hour praying in other tongues, even if you're doing it while you're doing other things. That's the beauty of praying in tongues that Dave taught us over and over again. Because your natural mind is not really involved in it, you can be doing other things and still your spirit man be praying. That is good. But see, where we're going, we've got to come to the place where we hear God like you're hearing me. You know? And Dave, I always go back to that thing where he says, well, now, if I only have 7 hours a week to pray, which is better, Pastor Dave? Should I pray 1 hour a day? Or should I pray 7 hours all in one day? And this is not the kind where you're, while you're doing other things. We're talking about prayer, where you just pray. We might allow you to read your Bible during that time silently, softly. But really, it's quiet time. We're talking quiet time. Because here's what Dave would say. He said, he didn't even hesitate. He said, pray 7 hours in one day. Which surprised me. I thought it would be pray 1 hour every day. But then he told why. He says, the longer you pray, the quieter you get. There it is. So, I wrote a little lesson this morning called Nurturing the New Nature. Now, when I say this, I'm not saying that the new nature has to grow in righteousness. Let's get that established right at the beginning. I am not talking about that. When you get born again, your nature, when it comes to righteousness, comes in full grown. You don't grow to stop fornication or to even know that it's wrong. The instant you get born again, you know that. Same with lying, same with stealing, same with everything like that. We're not talking about that, but we are talking about that new creature on the inside of you is not born fully mature in its understanding. That's why it's called mysteries in the Bible. So, let me just read it. You can go ahead and open up to John 16. That's where we're going to start. Now, there's quite a bit of information here, and I'm going to stick pretty close to this lesson because it's good for you and for me. And it's a good reference point right here at the end of the year. Let's say it another way. As we approach the beginning of a new year, I'll just throw this in ahead of time. Now, see, I'm being nicer to you than Bronk because Bronk's already been teaching on fasting for 2 or 3 weeks. At the holiday season. Now, he says he's just preparing them so they can have a running start. But see, I want you to eat your turkey and your ham and enjoy your pecan pie with whipped cream, pecan pie, buttered biscuits, spiral cut ham. Excuse me, just a moment. I'm having a moment. Enjoy it. Because your flesh is coming in for some discipline. We're going into fasting. And I mean, he's showing me things I've never seen in my life. And anyway, that's not today, though. Today it's prayer. So I wrote this morning, I said, nothing else can give you, and none of this is new. This is all refresher. I'm plagiarizing Dave and Bronk and Jim and Alan and Nathan and me. This is nothing really new. okay? But nothing else can give you what praying in tongues can give you. Nobody on planet Earth can get the same results by praying in their known language as they can by praying in other tongues. I have heard people say, that's not true. I can get the same thing by praying in English that I can by praying in tongues. See, that is the voice of the natural mind standing up in pride against the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. So John 16, did you find it? Look at verse 12. See, Jesus didn't believe that. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I put an emphasis. Cannot does not mean maybe so. Cannot. And I've tried to put myself in the place of Peter and the 11 or 12 that were standing there. Because Peter, they've been at every service, the Sermon on the Mount. They've heard every message that Jesus has ever taught. And Peter, I'm sure he's hearing Jesus say that. And he's going, well, I'm standing right here, Lord. You have more to say to me? Just say on. I'm standing right here. But Jesus continues. He says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Now notice, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Now let me ask you. So who is the teacher of the deeper things of God? Is it Jesus? Or is it the Holy Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself. I'm passing the torch. Now here is why. Let me read. See, what that means is, now you're born again. They were not born again. Part of the reason they could not be taught is they didn't have the Spirit of God in them yet. We're going to get to that in a minute. But let's take a sidebar here for a minute. Us sitting here right now, born again, I know everyone in the room, every one of you is born again. So you have a spirit on the inside of you that has the capacity to be taught. Isn't that right? But what Jesus is saying there is if he himself walked through the wall, somehow walked right up to you face to face, he could not communicate to you in your known language those mysteries that he's talking about. Because your natural mind, see, your known language is the language of your natural mind. Isn't that right? It's the language that you were taught. It's the reasoning language that you receive information by. Still today, he would walk up to you and say, you're not able to bear these things in your known tongue. Your natural mind, we're going to get to that verse, cannot receive this directly. You can't. All right? So I'm going to read the vision. I said it anyway. But if Jesus appeared to you in a vision and told you to sit down while he taught you the things of the kingdom of God, as long as he did that in your known language, he could bring you no farther than he brought the disciples there in John 16. Because your known language belongs to the realm of your natural soul. In that scenario, he would be teaching your natural intellect just like he had been teaching their natural intellect. There is much the natural intellect can't understand, but it is pretty much limited to the understanding of this natural world. That's why Jesus often spoke to them in parables, illustrations that the natural intellect could understand. But Jesus plainly tells them in John 16:12 that he had brought them as far as he could by that method. The Holy Spirit would have to take up the role of teacher from that point forward. Why? Because the things of the kingdom of God are, quote, spiritually discerned. Not intellectually discerned. They would have to be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit of God, in order to even have the capacity to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. And they would have to yield time to the Holy Spirit in order to be nurtured spiritually. Now, not growing up in righteousness again. When it comes to righteousness, that new man on the inside is born, created in righteousness and true holiness. As I came into the service last week, actually between the 8:30 and the 10 o'clock service, someone well-meaning caught me out in the parking lot and said, I'm not going to mention the church or the pastor, but they said, hey, such and such pastor, which I know who it is, and such church, they've been going down to the day center and praying for the sick, and people have been getting healed. And it's almost like, well, we ought to shut down and just go over there. And I was real nice. I didn't say a lot. You know, I'm going, I get reports every day, almost every day, at least every week, of people around the world that have been hearing the teaching going forward out of this place, that are laying hands on the sick and seeing people get healed. Listen, that should not be news. That's supposed to be normal Christianity, that believers lay hands on the sick and see them recover. That's not supposed to be news. What we're after is something beyond that. See, I thank God for every knee that's been healed, every backache that's been healed. I thank God for Dave doing the arm things. I thank God for that. But we're going for a revival where the blind see, where the lame walk, where the deaf hear, where the crippled are made whole in Jesus' name every single time. And I don't know anywhere on earth where that's happening. If I did, I would shut it down and I'd be sitting in their church listening from them. This is not a pride issue. I just want to see it done. You understand what I'm saying? There is a thank God for wherever the body is walking. That's not the bar. He said, the works that I do shall you do also. Well, he opened the eyes of the man born blind. Come on. So that's the revival I'm talking. We haven't lost the vision here. That is the revival that we're pressing toward. And I don't know anywhere where you can take your blind child and on a regular basis get them healed week after week. Do you? Maybe by the gifts. Maybe it's a scattershot, you know, maybe. But I mean where it happens first time, every time, no exceptions in Jesus' name. See, I don't know any place like that. But I'm going to know a place like that, and this is going to be one of them. And I hope it's duplicated all around the world, because we got 8 billion people to get saved, roughly. Okay, that's not on here. But go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter, no, excuse me. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, what I just said on this document here that I wrote, this is the dreaded white pad today. They would have to be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit, in order to even have the capacity to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. And they would have to yield time to the Holy Spirit in order to be nurtured spiritually, matured in our understanding, and comprehending these mysteries. Why didn't it happen when I prayed? Well, you reckon the Holy Spirit can get us past that? I think he can. I don't think he can unless we yield to him. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 through 14. Now that we're born again, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. He's not talking about the Holy Ghost there. He's talking about that new nature. When you got born again, you got born of God's Spirit. And why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Now, that right there is talking about your natural intellect. It's not in the words that a natural man would use in your learned tongue. There are some things that you can be taught that way. But normally you can't live off another man's revelation. You're probably going to have to get in there and let the Holy Ghost make it real to you. But anyway, not in the wisdom which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now notice, but the natural man, what if we put the natural mind? See, you've got a spiritual mind and a natural mind. But the natural man, the natural part of you, that natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Well, they're foolishness unto him. The natural man, you can't turn water into wine. You can't walk on water. Well, a man born blind can't see. That's a natural mind. Okay? Now notice that the natural man, the natural mind, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now notice, neither can he know them. Because they are what? Spiritually discerned. And I wrote, you must be born again to understand the things of the kingdom of God. But being born again only gives you the capacity to be taught those things. The reborn human spirit is not to be taught by your intellect. It is the reverse. Your reborn spirit is to be taught by the Holy Spirit himself, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, this is why Dave used the parable of Chuck the duck. I'm not going to go through the parable. Nearly everybody in here could tell it as well as me. But Chuck the duck had to learn duck things from another duck, comparing spiritual with spiritual, right? We have to learn the spiritual things from the Holy Spirit, the one who has been sent to be the true teacher of the body of Christ. I'll just tell you right now, he's going to get you looking. I don't have this on there either. He's going to get you looking into that perfect law of liberty. He's going to get you looking into that glass, and what you're going to see is the glory of the Lord. It's supposed to be your reflection, but what you're going to see is Jesus looking back at you, and he's going to start comparing spiritual with spiritual. You say, you see how holy Jesus is? Yeah, that same holiness is in you. Amen. You see how righteous he is? Yeah, that same righteousness is in you, because we have been born of the same Spirit. Glory to God. And he'll compare spiritual with spiritual. It's part of what Nathan's been lovingly hammering us with. You're a child of God. You don't fornicate. He's comparing. Does Jesus fornicate? No, Jesus said, well, you don't either. Look in the glass. That's you. What? Your natural mind will never receive that, but your spiritual mind can. Anyway. Spiritual things are mysteries, quote, to the natural mind. The natural mind could spend decades trying to comprehend those mysteries, and it will never understand. And I'll just tell you, that's why we have 57 flavors, more than that, of Christianity. I mean, if there was ever a testimony to the impossibility of the natural mind understanding the mind of Christ, it's the very fact that we have so many denominations. And that's a testimony to the mind of man in its pride, thinking it can understand the mind of God without spending time with the Holy Ghost. Dave would teach us, and I believe it down to my socks. He says you could take two guys, man and a woman, ministers, what I'm getting at, start them off at the end of the Amazon River, and they're born again, spirit-filled, and they make a commitment. We're going to spend the next 50 years. You go up the left side of the Amazon. I'm going to go up the right side of the Amazon. We won't see each other again for 50 years. But let's make this commitment. We're going to meditate the word and pray Zama time every day. A certain amount of time every day. Then we're going to compare notes 50 years from now. And if they really do that and they yield sufficient time to praying in the Holy Ghost and meditating the word, when they compare notes 50 years later, they will both be believing exactly the same thing, because they read the same word and they had the same teacher, being the Holy Ghost. That's good stuff, isn't it? But spiritual things are mysteries to the natural mind. The natural mind could spend decades trying to comprehend those mysteries, and it'll never understand. Now, I wrote this in all caps. If the natural intellect of man could be taught these mysteries, then Jesus would have taught him to the 12 before he was crucified. Give it up. You're going to have to go pray in tongues. Give it up. Or else you're going to start your another denomination. That's what we need is another denomination. They're all wrong. I'm going to have my own denomination. That's how we got here. There is a spiritual man within you who is the born-again child of the living God. That spiritual man is made in the image of God. Within that spiritual man, there is a spiritual mind that has the capacity to be taught the things of the kingdom of God, the things of that spiritual realm. Because that man is born of the Spirit, it has the capacity to discern spiritual things. Your natural mind, now get this, listen close. Your natural mind may never understand the fullness of the mysteries, and it does not have to. The God-designed function of the natural mind is to become a renewed mind by continually bowing the knee to the will of God contained within each person's spiritual mind. The natural mind is not designed to be the decision maker. The natural mind is God designed to be the servant to the spiritual mind. And that's our famous servants upon horses verse, Ecclesiastes 10:7. You can look it up later. He said, I have seen servants upon horses. He said, this is a terrible thing. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. And I'll just tell you now, that's pretty much the way most ministry is. The natural mind is still calling the shots, and the spiritual mind, because it hasn't spent time in the fellowship or in the classrooms of the Holy Ghost, it hasn't taken dominion over the horse. The horse represents your life and the direction of your life, your ministry, your calling. Well, who's got the reins? Solomon said, I've seen a horrible thing. I've seen servants holding the reins. That's the natural man. That's the natural mind. And the prince, which is the born again part, he's walking along like the servant. And the natural mind is calling the shots. He said, that's terrible. That's not the way God designed man, especially the born-again man. You're supposed to be in fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords by the agency of the Holy Ghost. He'll show you things to come. Whatever he hears from the Lord, he's going to repeat that unto you. He's going to teach you everything you need to know about your calling. He may not teach you everything you need to know about Dave's calling, but he's going to teach you everything you need to know about yours. And the natural mind, I'm telling you, the natural mind doesn't so much have to understand as it needs to learn to just obey. My natural mind has argued with the Lord on every step of mine. I'm talking about me and Sue now, our journey, walking with the Lord. My natural mind has argued, stood in opposition, almost every time I've really heard the Lord. Well, this is your last trip as a truck driver when you get back. Give your dispatcher 2 weeks' notice. He will not require it of you, and you'll be free to serve me full time. My natural mind. Serve you doing what? What about my car payment? What about my insurance payment? What about this? What about my health insurance? I am your healer. I don't want to hear that. What about my health insurance? My natural mind. Later on. I want you to give everything away free. Don't sell nothing. That's what he told me. He didn't tell you that. I'm not against ministry selling things. You get your own instructions from the Lord. But in my case, give everything away free. Don't sell anything. My natural mind, do you think it just stood there like a dummy? It is a dummy. Because it argues with the Lord all the time. Is it like, Lord, don't you know how nuts that is? We'll go under, Lord. And then he says, what do you think? Well, I could send out appeal letters. Oh, and by the way, never send out an appeal letter. That's what he told us. I'm not telling you don't do that. The way he said it to me is, don't ever let your needs be known to any human being. You just tell them to me and I'll be your provider. And that's the way it's been. Been at this a while. You notice I didn't starve? What I'm saying, that natural mind, It's not so much that it needs to understand as it needs to learn to obey. Just yield. Yield. Not only when it comes to sin things. Nathan's testimony, I love it. The more he never heard a voice. He never heard a voice. Thou shalt move to Tulsa. Never heard that, did you, Nathan? But see, you can't habitually pray in tongues a lot and not come to the place where even your natural mind will get it. That servant will get it. The Lord wants us to move to Tulsa. Did you argue with it? Struggle with it? Rebel against it? For a while? But if you don't quit praying, he won't quit leading. And you'll just get miserable as all get out. Until you obey him. That's the way it works, see? And sometimes you will hear a voice. Sometimes you just know. You don't know how you know, but you know. Well, because you've been praying. But if you don't do the praying, what? God's going to have to come and write on the wall? Tekel, whatever that was. Anyway, let me get back to my... I'm going to run out of time. Yes, at this point, I want to read you something that he's... This is... I've said before, there were many face-to-face things that we did not include because it just there's too much over the years. I've been at this 20-some-odd years. But I'm going to read you another one that I titled, Brought to the Door. Now, this is the Lord speaking through me, to me. This is from the days at the ugly building where I had a lot of time, and I had committed to a certain number of hours each day, and I'd go over there. In the beginning, we didn't even have, there was no cell phone, there was no telephone there. I did have a little laptop, but no internet connection. So, you know, basically all I could do is type with it. And this is one of those that I heard from him. And he's just talking directly to me. But I believe today he's going to talk directly to you. I call this one Brought to the Door. He says, although you are having difficulty hearing the questions posed by your spirit, Let me stop for a moment. As these face-to-face things would go along, and I'm mostly praying in the tongues. In a 10-hour stretch over there, I probably prayed 8 hours and maybe typed 2 hours or maybe an hour. Sometimes none. Some days just all prayer. But then as I would put the things in English that I would hear, every now and then there would be a phrase like this. I hear you asking me about that. And I went... My natural soul went, I didn't ask about that. But he would answer the question because he was communicating with my spirit. My soul just got in on it. And that kept happening along to where I was going, what is this thing about? I don't remember asking you these questions. That's what he's talking about. He says, so although you are having difficulty hearing the questions posed by your spirit. See, let me ask you guys. In a classroom, sometimes don't you raise your hand? Apparently, that's what happens in his classroom. Your spirit man there is Shandalabako Sandalebreto. You're praying in tongues, and every now and then your spirit has a question. And apparently, it'll ask him, and your soul didn't even know it because your soul's sitting outside the curtain. Question? What question? I didn't hear no question. Anyway, so he says, although you are having difficulty hearing the questions posed by your spirit, understand and know that I have not the same difficulty. I hear every question your spirit asks, and I am answering those questions line upon line, precept upon precept. Trust me when I say that this training is very orderly and sequential. Remember, it is your spirit man that I am nurturing, not your soul. I'm pausing for effect. Did you hear that sentence? It is your spirit man that I am nurturing, not your soul. Again, I remind you, the renewing of the soul is a byproduct of this process. The person that you esteem as being you is not the person I esteem as being you. In your estimation, the person you regard as being you is the soul-ruled man. That is why you feel abandoned when your soul knows not what actions to take in the natural realm. To this hour, You have relied most heavily on obtaining direction from your soul. When your soul knows not what to do, then you esteem that you know not what to do. This is typical of the man who is still ruled by his soul. I am progressively bringing you out from under the dominion of the soul. The person I regard as being you is the spirit-ruled man. Remember my words to you, and this is from a previous face-to-face, quote, dominion is by the Spirit, son. The life that has been imparted to your spirit is the life upon which I exercise dominion, end of quote. It is your spirit that I am nurturing, not your soul. Let me give you a little more insight into the nature of the unrenewed soul, the soul that has not yet become the soul of meekness. The unrenewed soul desires lordship at all costs. It would prefer to enter into the Lamb's room of fellowship while your spirit man sat outside that room in a chair. Your soul would prefer to be the one who stands before the Lamb to receive his counsel, and then to emerge from that room and exercise lordship over your spirit man by dictating to him what the soul heard within. But that would result in your spirit man always being the servant of your soul. And that was never the Father's plan. No, you are to rule by your spirit. For this season, I have brought your soul right up to the door of the Lamb's room of fellowship. But it is your soul that must sit in a chair outside the door while your spirit goes in to fellowship with the Lamb. Periodically, as your spirit understands new things, you have noticed how it emerges from the room and explains these things to your soul. By this method, your soul is becoming more and more dependent upon your spirit. By this method, your soul is becoming the soul of meekness. Your spirit is taking lordship over your soul progressively every day by this process. Again, I say, trust me. I am bringing the transformation you seek as rapidly as is possible. I am pleased that you have chosen to allow more time for me to school and train and nurture your spirit. The Lamb is pleased and the Father is pleased. Be at peace and focus on time remaining, not time lost. Now there's a good, did you hear that? I'm 71 in a few days. I need to focus on time remaining. My mother is 97. I got a few years here, quite a few, see. I need to focus on time remaining, not time lost. He says, if you continue to focus on time remaining, you will have an abundant entrance into heaven, rejoicing over the sheaves of harvest that you have gathered into the Father's granary. Is that good news or what? Now, later that same day, he gave me a vision of the soul-ruled man. Just a little teaching vision. I see this child representing the soul sitting on the shoulders of a man. No doubt the man represents the new nature, or you could say the spirit man within, the reborn spirit. Now the soul, now get this, so here's the spirit man, and here's my soul sitting on his shoulders like a child. Got it? So the soul has been directing the path of the spirit man for a long time. And I can see and hear the childlike soul demanding answers from the Holy Spirit that would keep its programs prospering. It reminds me of a spoiled child who does his best to rule over his parents, sometimes pleading, sometimes crying, sometimes demanding, sometimes pouting, and sometimes shouting. But the end result of all its machinations is, give me answers that will keep me in the position of Lord over the spirit man. So I see this child sitting on the shoulders of the spirit man, shaking his fist towards heaven and saying, you must give me the answers I need or I will lose my position as Lord. And of course, as long as it's the child asking, the Holy Spirit remains silent. And that is his plan and purpose, that the soul loses its dominion over the reborn human spirit. Is that pretty good or what? Hallelujah. Now, let me find my place again here. Here's a good homework assignment for you sometime. With that vision in mind, go to Proverbs and look up every verse that has the word child in it. That's how you're supposed to treat your soul. When your soul says, we need to go do this rather than pray, or this is more important than prayer right now, or here, I just picked a few, there's more. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, what does that mean? You tell your soul to shut up. We're going to go pray. And if you don't let me go pray, you're not getting anything sweet for a week. Now, where we're going, if you don't let me pray, you're not getting any food at all for a week. But anyway, here's another one. Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child. Now, again, the child being your soul. That wants to, I want my way, I want my way. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Fasting is a good way to beat that child with a rod. Proverbs 29:15 is another one. Boy, no. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Well, how do we deal with children? Mamas, don't you tell your children, eat your vegetables. And they go, why? Because I said so. Clean up your room. Why? Do your homework. Now, let me ask you, a child left on its own, would it ever do those things without the discipline of the parent? No, and it's the same way with your prayer life. Shut up, soul. That lawn will wait. We could have a frozen dinner tonight. Thawed in the microwave. Instead of me giving up my prayer time to do whatever it is. Now, I do believe in home-cooked meals. I'm just saying, anyway. And the point I'm trying to make, that soul left to its own will never choose prayer. Not praying in tongues. It knows every hour you give to praying in tongues, it's losing its dominion over you. It's not stupid. And it'll resist. It'll come up with 1,000 things to anything and justify them all. So I'm going to say again, would a child ever eat its vegetables, clean up its room, do its homework? Maybe when they get older, I'm talking about a little child. No, they have to be forced to do it. And your soul has to be forced to pray. Don't leave it to chance. Don't let it. Well, I'm going to wait till I feel like prayer. I left out one statement that's important. This whole idea of going to prayer, and I'll just tell you, I have failed at this a lot. I mean, I shouldn't tell you that. You're supposed to listen to me like I know what I'm doing. But I believe in being transparent. And he used this word, which is a very tough word. He's told me more than once, if I did a word search in these documents and pulled this word up, it would be quite a few. The word is ruthless. Because he's told me more than once, be ruthless in bringing yourself back to the classrooms of my training. He's talking about praying in tongues. I know what he meant. So I looked up that word, ruthless, in the American dictionary. And ruthless means show no pity or compassion. See, my soul is like a little child that wants its own way. I want to go play. I want to watch football. I want to go to the movies. I want to go make money. I want to go this. I want to do that. I want to do something else. I want to go anything. Pray. Eat my vegetables. Doesn't sound like any fun. foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, you're going to have to take dominion over it. Treat it like a child. Pray in tongues. When your soul goes, why? Be the parent. Go, because I said so. You don't have to reason with that child. Get yourself. I like how Bronk said it. Find your prayer closet again. I had my prayer closet. I found my prayer closet 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about 15 years ago. How's that working for you today? How's your prayer life today? See, you don't have to look this one up, Dave. It should be engraved in our brain because Dave took us there so often. It's Jude, verse 20, chapter 1, by the way. Okay, yeah, people are awake. Okay. But it says, but you, beloved, I just got through talking about these guys who are in such error in the church, teachers in the church that are taking multitudes to hell. In the church. They're going to wind up in hell. And he just got through teaching about them. They're teaching in the church as Christians, but they're teaching that God's grace covers lasciviousness. Gee, I'm sure glad we don't have any of that today. It's everywhere to various degrees, you know. But he makes a distinction between those guys and you, you spirit-filled born-again outfit. He says, but you, beloved, now notice, I hope this may have a whole new meaning for you, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Who is he talking to? Is he talking to the soul? He's talking to the real you. The real you, the child of God, that born-again person. These others are getting led away by error. They don't even recognize it as being deception. But he says, you, beloved, building up yourselves. How would I do that? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you will understand the mysteries. You'll understand the mysteries. You won't be led away. You'll understand the mind of Christ. But if you don't, you're susceptible. I was watching, the Lord has, I call him Jehovah Sneaky, you know, because he has this way of sneaking up on you. And the other day, I turned on my TV, and you know, it's always on a channel, some channel. I turned it on. I'm not going to say the name. If I did, every person in here would know this teacher. He's probably the premier radical grace preacher in the world today. On TV all the time, everywhere, you know. But he happened to be on. And when I'm fixing to grab the remote, I don't want this trash in my house, you know. And I felt this urging, no, sit and listen for a little bit. So about 10 minutes, and I'm telling you, I told Tim this later when I saw him. I said, I fear for the sheep. And it's not that they're dumb, they're not, but they don't do the message. For the most part, they don't. I'm amazed at people that's been believers for 20 years and they've never read the New Testament, not even once, all the way through. And I'm going, what? Don't pray in other tongues. Don't read the word. Because I'm telling you, he used lots of scripture. Smooth as silk. And I'm sitting there, my Lord, if I didn't know what I know, if I had not been taught by the Holy Ghost, I could be another one. Because, I mean, it's so appealing to the flesh. It's so appealing to the flesh. It just brings peace. And, oh, he just loves me, you know, God. He does. But that's not the end of the message. He saved you out of your sin. Now get out of it. See? But then we'll talk about that part so much. Anyway, it scared me a little bit. That's why the Lord had me watch it again. It'd been a long time. I mean, it is smooth. These guys are good at what they do. And that's why Jude was, it must have been happening in the first century. It's why Jude wrote this letter. Let's back up a little bit in Jude. And good Lord, I haven't read Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God, the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. He is not writing to the world, is he? He is writing to the spirit-filled, born-again church. He said, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Well, thank God. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. He was going to write a letter about the common salvation. But it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once, and that means first, delivered unto the saints. Why? Why are you going to have? You better earnestly contend for that first doctrine, that first, what the pure gospel that was preached by the apostles. Right in the beginning, you better contend for that one. Why? For there are certain men crept in unawares. Only reason, they can't creep in unawares saying they're not Christian. They are saying, I'm Christian, this is the mind of God, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now, even though they're saying they're Christian, they are ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And for years I didn't know what that meant. I do now. That same teacher, I quoted it to you from his own writings. I brought it in print. That same teacher, the one I'm talking about, in his own writings, he says, you don't have to listen to hardly any of the teaching that Jesus taught before the resurrection. He is denying the plain teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, no, you don't have to listen to that. It is this verse manifested in our day. No. His grace covers lasciviousness. Jesus said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those that do the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, have we not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils and done many mighty works? And I will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Why? Ye that do what? Ye that work iniquity. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So Jude is writing this letter. It was happening in the first century like it's happening now. What was his answer? What was his solution? He goes into great detail about these guys. But then at the end, what's his solution? What? I want you to earnestly contend. Does it sound like Dave? Dave would set us up. He'd go, what does he mean, contend for that faith that was first delivered to the church? How would you do that? How would you contend? But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Here, I better praying and keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You want to contend for the faith? You want to be one of those that avoids deception? Keeps your soul in submission to that spirit man on the inside? Jude recommends, how about praying a lot in the Holy Ghost? You have an anointing from the Holy One. You have an inoculation against deception. And it's not an it, it's a who. It is He, the Holy Ghost. He will guide you into all truth. Now, I've been at this a long time. It's Transparency Day too. I have had seasons where I've been very diligent in prayer and the Word. I mean seasons meaning years. I have also had seasons like Bronk described where you don't even realize it happened, but I'm telling you, one of the biggest tools of the enemy is busyness. And I don't mean busy doing evil things, busy doing good things. Because it's so easy for the mind to justify that good thing. But I've done it too. I have slipped. It's not that I never quit. I don't think I've had a day not praying at all. You know, I can't even think of a day like that. But I'm talking about where there's time just alone and quiet. Not busy time praying. Not praying while I'm driving. Praying while I'm mowing. Praying while I'm watching a football game. No, I did say that out loud. Too late. Okay. It does still work, but anyway. And that's all good, but I don't think that's the level that's going to birth. If that level would have birthed revival, somebody would have birthed it by now. That's not where it is. But we are never going to lower the bar in this church. Never, never. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. That is the bar. We're going to leave it right there. That's the mark. We may all have to manage somewhere below that in our daily life right now, but that is the mark that we are pressing toward. And it's going to have to be birthed by the Holy Ghost. And I don't think any of us are smart enough, or it's even possible to get there without his teaching. I think Bronk is absolutely right. That kind of revival is going to be birthed through a people that fast and pray and seek the Lord with their whole heart. We're coming up close to a new year. I think it's time to recommit to prayer. Amen. Let's find that prayer closet again. And I'm talking about prayer, quiet prayer. The kind where maybe you'd... How long has it been since you spent 7 hours in prayer doing nothing else? That's the illustration Dave used, 7 hours. How long has it been? Don't answer. We'll see you in 30 minutes. Merry Christmas.